Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
David Slack's here, thank goodness. Hi, David, how are you? Thanks for coming into the studio this morning.
Never better, and thanks for asking, Mikey.
What a, it's been interesting, hasn't it? A couple of weeks ago, it was quite the thing to be the National Party and going, oh, what a nightmare week it is for the government this week. Oh, let me just say what a nightmare, embarrassing week it is for the government this week. But the government just seems to be they've got this technique
I
now.
Like we talked about. Don't they, embarrassing?
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Probably a poor choice of words. Not embarrassing. I mean, I'm not going to say embarrassing. So I'm not going to definitely say embarrassing. Without saying embarrassing, I'm just going to go back and not say embarrassing. which is what he did. And then the government just seems to be rolling out all these announcements. And that's, you keep this. You'd know. You've worked in that part of it, eh? In politics, where you just roll out those announcements, look like you're getting the job done, let everyone else suffer the pain.
Yeah, well, that works up to a point. When I was in the Prime Minister's office, that was the last year of the Labor government that did all of those reforms, and things started going really badly about 2 years before that, and that meant that there
no
was...
No one's blaming you, David.
But no matter what you tried to produce, you just couldn't deny the reality that businesses were falling over, people were getting sold out from their houses, people were losing jobs, and the whole thing was looking just dire. And at that point, new policies just looked like Band-Aid on a gaping wound, and so you couldn't do anything. Thankfully for this government, that is not the case at all.
No.
Instead, what you have is a flourishing economy and the surplus this week demonstrating that their prudence means that the money they're gathering is accumulating into a hell of a lot, so that we're actually back into the argument or debate we were having about 10 years ago about whether you should be keeping any of this money, which of course you should, because there's so much to spend it on to catch up on all of the damage that's been done.
It's $5,000 million.
Mm.
$5,500 million. That's the surplus.
Did you see the Greens party were saying that why have so much surplus yet still have so many people suffering?
But we sort of broached that when I spoke
critique.
To the and fair enough too. And you need the Greens in government, I think, to keep hammering that away. But we spoke to the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern about that yesterday. About sort of, so does it mean, you know, presents for everybody, ho ho ho, as we're saying? And she said, well, there's a certain amount of it which will go on the stuff we've already talked about, and then there's a certain amount that you have to hang on to, which we learnt with the Christchurch earthquake, you know, and various other financials.
Yeah.
She was very she definitely made a strong indication about potential financial collapse. Economic issues, didn't she?
At least some sort of protection against that.
You do need rainy weather buffer, and that's what Cullen was going on about when he was finance minister, and then the GFC came along, and the proof of that was demonstrated. But you do have the possibility of maybe pushing the accelerator a little harder and doing a bit more in all of the very many areas they're already working on, which address all of those questions. I had a forum a couple of months ago here with David Parker, where I said to him, just hypothetically, you've got another $100 billion each year to spend, what would you do then? And at first he thought I meant $100 billion once, and he said, well, I think we'd just work on reducing debt and then we'd press on. I said, no, every year. And he said, hell. Usually they won't talk about hypotheticals, but because we'd got landed there, he did. And he said, well, the first order of business is making sure that you get rid of homelessness and an affordable home for everybody. And with all of that money, you can really do that. The second, he said, was find a way to ensure that there is next to nobody in prison. You know, completely, completely transform your society, your everything that happened, because you know that goes back to the origins in poverty and deprivation that lead to dysfunctional lives. That
absolutely,
and of course the mental illness. What is it about 2/3 of people of the prison intake have some form of mental illness? No, I'm loose with that.
It's even more than I think. It's like something 90% have suffered. Yeah, notable mental illness or event.
Or will from that experience.
So imagine that.
Before they go in. That's when they go in. Yeah.
And this surplus actually, you know, if you wanted to, gives you a basis for saying, well, actually, we could actually be borrowing and really pushing the accelerator down and making some progress on these.
I see what you're saying.
But this is leading me to the thing I was going to rant about this morning to you, Mikey. Okay. If I may, and this is the
Slack,
the IPCC report this week saying basically we're doomed.
2040, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's the end.
Because
which makes me think it's 2030, at least.
Which is only...
Because climate change is real and doing real harm, and that harm is accumulating, and there are points of no return that get hit before very long, to do with the thawing of the polar ice and those kinds of large issues. And meanwhile, we have people hearing it, and many people, apart from the ones who listen to Leighton Smith, who say, I don't believe any of it, you guys are making, we're all talking bullshit. You've then got a whole lot of people who say, yeah, I see it, but I think I'll be okay. I hope it'll be okay. I'll put out the recycling, and I hope I'll be okay. And it's that apathy that is our problem. And I'll, before I give you my brainwave solution, I'll just put it this way. Years ago, little Mary Margaret and I and her friend went to the High Court and then the District Court for school holidays, because that's the fun sort of stuff we used to do.
About that.
and so all of these different people would talk to these bright-eyed young girls, and one of them said, she'd been working in the court system for 30 years, and she said, the people who are in here mostly are teenage boys, and the reason they're here is because they can never see more than one step ahead. And I thought that was a marvellous lesson. But that is kind of our problem with climate change. We cannot see more than a couple of steps ahead, and we kind of console ourselves. Well, I just drove the car, but the earth didn't melt. So maybe it's actually okay if I drive my car just this one more time, this one more time. But what the IPCC report made abundantly clear is, a few steps down the line, we're absolutely rooted. So here are the two things I've got in mind, and this goes back to the government spending all that money. You go back to the Second World War, and what happened was, they needed to, especially in America, they needed to ramp up the armament industry so that they could just pour machinery into the European theatre, and likewise the Russians did the same thing. What the Russians did it by absolute state control. America kind of did the same thing. They made it really, really beneficial for Boeing, the aircraft companies, Ford, for General Motors. They were handsomely paid to just ramp up their production, and out it came. So what I'm getting at is, you get the government to spend a shitload of money on ramping up production of electric vehicles, because that's your number one way of reducing your carbon emissions, and that is our number one problem. And instead of saying, oh, it'd be nice if everybody would have an EV, but it's just too costly, you say, okay, government will pick up the tab. We'll figure it out later, because we've got, just like the Second World War, we've got this thing where it matters so much that we're just going to sort this out, and we'll come back later and sort out the bill. Second thing, looking at that 10 steps ahead question of people who are apathetic, I think if we have people who are happily paying somebody to be their personal trainer to show them how to lose 2 kg, we should also have them, personal trainers, having these people getting up every morning and stepping them through the day how they're going to live a climate change conscious life. What are you doing today, Mikey? What are you going to do? Are you putting out your recycling? Did you take a walk instead of getting in your car? That kind of thing. So that we,
climate
because,
change trainer.
So and if you like it, it'll be a little like cadres in communist China in the 1960s, and that was real. Everybody really dug that, and that was very so obviously I'm talking about vast amounts of state spending and vast amounts of state control, but I think that's where we've got to, and I know there are huge drawbacks
I mean, I'm a big fan of this idea of a city like Auckland, free public transport as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose half the money you're going to spend on infrastructure.
Yep.
But at the same time, you don't need to spend as much money on infrastructure because everyone's using the public transport systems that are already in place.
Absolutely, right.
Even if you didn't want to do completely free, you could do something like what they do in other countries, which would be like $1 an hour.
Yeah, $1 an hour.
Just so
a flat rate, dollar if it's from here to K Road, dollar if it's from here to the airport.
It's so much more efficient if there's no collection system, if you can just get on them.
Yeah.
And so that means that more people will be happily using them, I would say. Have them abundant, and people happily do that too, because they know there's another one in 3 minutes or 5 minutes.
Yep.
And suddenly, you've got a huge transformation.
Which is part of the problem in Auckland, though, because we are sort of such a large, scattered area. It's like LA. It's like, it's all over the place. But the
a whole lot of free e-bikes too, so that everybody's got a feeder system, and you just onzo them, so that they're just free everywhere, just lying on the ground everywhere. You don't have to tick it on to them like an Onzo.
I spoke to Jacinda about this yesterday as well, and she said, here's all the things that we're doing. We're really happy with that. And I sort of suggested, that's cool, but don't we have to do all that, but again, on top of what we're doing? And, you know, and we're a very conscious country, I think, in the list of conscious countries. I think we get fairly up there, I suppose, you know. But
here's the crucial difference. She has to get elected and I don't. So I'm saying all this stuff because there are people who just trash me because of it, but it doesn't matter. But for her, she knows that having power is better than not, and so politics is the art of the possible. But it's so goddamn frustrating because we are compromising our way towards an IPCC predicted disaster.
Mm. And we can all, you know, I remember the ad growing up where there was like a grandfather taking his son down to a scorched beach, you know, and going, wow, I hope it never gets that bad. But it's, you know, it's a matter of in the last couple of years, you can see noticeable,
you bet,
dramatic differences in the way that the world, if you look at the world as a living being, how it's surviving.
You bet.
And it can survive without us.
More fires, more waves, you know.
And we're lucky to have air, even. Good honest for you. Good call, David. Good call. And
I shall develop this for the Sunday column. Let's see what it turns into.
Yeah. But we need to all be thinking about that. I just don't know why people.
I feel like it's a habitual thing to also not walk very far.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people I know will be like, oh, I'm not going to walk that, when it's like, it's not actually that.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like in the movie WALL-E, everyone just sits there on a big
God, those bloated beach balls on their lounges.
Please don't let that be a prophecy.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much, David Slack.
Our pleasure.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.